those people that have walked away from the Lord in my life. And just decided to, I don't know, give up on God. I don't know what's going on in their heart. I can't say. They might be the most miserable people that I know. I know that I would be if a child of God, not trying to serve the Lord. Every time that it's happened in my life, I've been miserable. And it has drawn me back to the bosom of the Lord. But I'm just grateful that not everybody gets there at the same time, wanting to quit or wanting to walk away. I think of the instances in Scripture, of, you know, like the three Hebrew children, where they said, it's not worth it. We're just going to bow down. But if Abram would have said, okay, Lord, I'll go wherever you lead me. What if they just said no? You know, I mean, these people had the ability to do that. If you believe different, I think you're wrong in Scripture. That God gave us a free will that I can, for a while, I can buck what He wants to the very point that He'll take me out of this world. I mean, that's God's remedy. It's not, you know, I said, well, that's not fair. They're living contrary to the Word of God, not proclaiming Jesus, not lifting up Christ as the Son of God, and here you're going to take Him on to be in glory. But I see when I think about it, the wisdom in that. And God certainly has wisdom, does He not? Far above mine, far above mine. Think about Noah. What if he said, I can't build that boat. I don't even know what rain is. You know, he had all kinds of excuses. He says, just too much for me, Lord. Well, I'm telling you right now, we don't need to be there. We are so blessed, and I promise you, and I believe I can back it up by the Word of God, which I hope I can do this day if God would give me the liberty and the ability this morning to encourage you, to let you know that you've got everything you need to do what God wants you to do. You don't have to quit. You don't have to back up, because we are the children of God. We are important, by the way. And I'm not saying that in a bragging way. I know this much, that it takes someone truly saved by the grace of God to understand the Word of God. It takes truly someone saved by the grace of God to reach out to the Lord and get direction from Him. My friend, these people that play in this Christian nation that we live in, they're in a fog. They don't understand the Spirit of the Lord as you that have been redeemed by the grace of God do. And so we have no reason to quit. We have no reason to back up, even when it's hard, even when it gets difficult in my life or our lives, my friend. Things we might not want to do, places we might not want to go, people that we want to see, you know, sharing what we know to be true. I think of you a lot, brother, with your family, and I know that you'd love to have them in the pew with you, as we all probably have people that we can think of, but I think of those others that just let sin get in their way or let it take over their lives, or just, and sometimes it doesn't seem like it's a big thing. They just seem like they quit. You know, I don't know, but I know one thing. My title this morning is Loved, Kept, Rested, and Taught. Loved, kept, rested, and taught. You've got everything that you need to fight the battle that's before us. And all that God wants of you, my friend, as a church, is to be a light in this world. I believe with all my heart that God established the Church of the True and Living God to be the institution that would be here when the world is on fire. I don't know where that's going to be. I hope that it's here. I hope it's in some of the other places that I've been. But as I see, my friend, little by little, it seems that Satan is doing his job very well. He's chipping away at our children, our loved ones, our family, our friends, our churches. And they've disappeared. Where are the seven churches of Asia? They don't exist, to the best of my knowledge. I don't know why. I don't understand all those things. But I do know one thing. I am a child of God. And the Lord wants fighters, by the way. He don't want wimps. Now, with saying that, I don't want to come across, be wise as doves, be a lamb, be humble. But my friend, I can be a lamb, and I can tell you what, the greatest slam came from the throne of God. And he was the greatest fighter that I know of. He even took that fight all the way to the Golgotha's hill and said, here am I. I'm going to do this for all of you. He was a fighter. And so I think in my heart, as I see things and as I contemplate things, that God doesn't want wimpy people in the house of the Lord. He wants you to believe in what is right. And what is right, my friend, is to teach this lost and dying world about a Savior that died for them. Point out sins of the world. To point to, you know, we need to be direct once in a while. Did you know that? And I'll promise you this, every time you're direct, whether it's to your family, your friends, or your coworkers, whatever the case may be, you might not be liked. You might be despised. You might be rejected. But who are they rejecting? And who are they despising? It's Jesus, the Son of God, who by all means has made it possible. He loves the world, by the way. He loves your worst enemy, if you have any today. He loves them more than they even realize and understand, my friend. But I'm telling you that we, as the children of God, we don't have to be wimpy. We don't have to be, my friend, weak. We can be who we are, my friend, and be thankful and to be grateful that you can say, I am a child of God. I am loved, I am kept, I am rested, and I am taught. I'm going to delve into those things a little bit. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the 33rd chapter, the first three verses is where I'll take a reading lesson this morning. And I guess my whole thought process this morning, heart process, you might say, is this little band of people leaves here today a little bit a little bit stronger, a little bit more thankful, and realizing, wow, I do have what it takes. I do have the things that I need to do the work of the Lord. One of them is to get yourself out of the way, by the way. If you learn that, then you've got a big step. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's not about anything about the humanity. It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's about Him being lifted up before a lost and dying world. And I'm telling you, you've got everything that you need. Everything. Let's read this reading lesson. 33rd chapter, the first verse. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of his saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. And so that's the first three verses of that chapter. And I want you to keep in mind my title, Loved, Kept, Rested, and Taught. It's right there in the last verse. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive thy word. So let's look. That he loved us. Does he not? The Bible, doesn't it teach it that he loves us? I mean, I could go to very familiar scriptures this morning to tell you those things. 1 John, the 4th chapter, 19th verse, it says this, simply this, we love him because he first loved us. We are loved. I guess, you know, for humanity, being alone and being not desired or not seemingly, when you get those feelings, and we all go through those, some go through them worse than others, but my friend, we are loved. Even if I didn't have another soul that was my friend, even if I didn't have another person that I called brother or sister, I know when I get down deep into the Word of God that I am loved. He loves me first. That's what the Bible says. And that's the first thing you need to realize when you go out here to battle. The world's not going to love you. The world's not going to love what you have if they remain in the sinful condition they're in. Sin doesn't like the light. Light doesn't, my friend, will overcome the darkness every single time, whether we see it or not, because in the end, Christ is coming back. He will gather his church to take him home to be with him in glory. We'll all stand before him in judgment, my friend, and there will be a reckoning and there will be a payday. But until then, know that you're loved and you can do what you need to do because he loves us. Jeremiah said in the 31st verse, in the 31st chapter and the 3rd verse, that's a lot of threes there. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He loved us first. You go in the Old Testament and he talks about the love that he has for his people, and it's carried on into the New Testament. My friend, he loves us. Everywhere in Scripture, it talks about how much the love of... we don't even understand that, by the way. As much as I've studied the love of God for 40-some-odd years, I don't even think I have scratched the surface of how God feels about me. I know I'm not worthy of that love. I do realize that, and you're not either, but I want you to know his love goes beyond your imagination. It goes beyond, my friend, your wildest dreams. You are loved no matter what that the world thinks of you or your friends or your boyfriends or your husbands or your wives. I'm telling you, God's love does not fail. It's not there 1 minute and drawn back. It's always been there. From before the world was, the Bible says, by the way. There was a great council meeting. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they got together, however you want to imagine that, and hatched the plan of humanity and the world and salvation. And it's mind-boggling to think about that he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And before I was, he loved me. Before I was, he knew me. Before I was, my friend, he knew everything about me. Knew where I would be. And you know what? He knew I would be here today preaching the things that I am preaching. That's how much God knows. He knew it before you even called me. He knew it before I even got the appointment. He loves us. Another place in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, 7th verse, 8 and 9. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. It's never going to end. That's what he's saying. Before the world was, and before long after the world is, there will be God and the love of God. And that you have that. If you've been born, well, you actually, when you were lost, you had it. You just didn't know it. Because he prepared a way that you could come into that knowledge. And the only way that you can understand it, even an inkling or a little bit of how much that God loves you, is to be saved by his grace. There's a picture here of the mighty hand of God redeeming them out of the house of the bondman. Well, friends, I once was lost, but I'm not. He redeemed me from that. He brought me from that. He set me free from the curse, my friend, that is upon all of mankind. I once was there, but now I'm not. Why? Because he loved me. I'm loved. You're loved. Let's go on. He said in the same, that 33rd chapter in the 3rd verse says, we're kept. All his saints are in thy hand. That's what the writer of Deuteronomy said. We're in his hand. What does that mean to you? You are not alone. Not only does he love you, he's holding you. Whatever you got to face, you don't have to face it alone. Take it farther than your spiritualness, my friend. I'm talking about the everyday life. One of the hardest things for me in my 61 years, and still is today, if I don't know how to do something, I put it off. In a remodeling project that I do once in a while, and not so much anymore, but my wife can attest to this, the things that I least want to do are the things I least know about. And I put them off until there's just, I got to get it done. And I get it done, and I know that a lot of times I say, Lord, just help me get it done. It's something as mundane as that. I mean, I could give you examples. Just help me get it done, Lord. We are held in His hands. Book of Samuel says this, the second chapter, 1 Samuel, 2nd chapter, 9th verse. It says, He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. So we are kept by the Lord. He watches over you. He keeps you. I know there's been many times in my life where I don't even know. I believe that I don't even know the dangers that I was in. And guess what? That great band of angels that God's got working overtime on my behalf around me, camped around the saints of God, my friend, have kept me safe from the things of this world. Because I want you to know, your enemy does hate you. He don't want to keep you. He don't want God to keep you. He wants to tear you down. He wants to make you be nothing. He wants to ruin your influence. But you've got one job, friends. You've got one job, church, and that's to show the world who Jesus Christ is. Because they don't get it out there unless you go take it to them. Book of John, Jesus said, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hands. I and my Father are one. And so the Lord has you. He's got your back, as they would say. He's got all of you, basically. We're loved. We're kept by the power of God. And that's a power that can't be defeated, by the way. As strong as Satan is, as persistent as he is, as I'm just trying to think of the adjectives this morning to describe him. I don't want to give him too much because he's really nothing. When it comes to God, he doesn't shine at all. When it comes to the world, he shines a lot. He looks really good, my friend. He would show you all kinds of things. He did that to Christ when he brought him out into the wilderness, didn't he? He says, hey, you see all this? It can be yours. Jesus had an answer for him. It's his. It was the Lord's anyway. Come get it now. No. God has a timing. All of his saints are in his hands. I don't know about you, but that comforts me. When I have undoubt swirling around my life and things aren't just seemingly going the way that I think they should go, I can always draw on that reserve knowing I'm in the hands of God. And not only that, He loves me. He loves me. God's love won't fail. Him keeping a hold of me will not fail. Got a lot of things that failed in my life, cars and tools and you name it. I have a lot of things that have failed me. People. Certainly God's not one of them, is he? You can't say God's failed you either, because I would certainly call you a liar according to the word of God. God doesn't lie. So we are kept. 1 Peter, 1st chapter, in the 5th verse. Says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I can't wait to get a better understanding of that when I'm in glory with God. He just reveals it all to us and gives us all that knowledge and understanding. We'll just love him even more, won't we? We'll just praise him even more, because that's part of the perfection that he perfects us with. And he lets us to have that knowledge, knowing this is how it was, this is how it is. I've kept you, I have loved you, I have kept you. All through the battle. Every once in a while, I don't know about you, but I get battle weary. I just get tired. Your pastor does too, but by the way, I used to laugh at Brother Skinner, not Stephen, but his son. I'd see him every once in a while and go, "How's it going?" He said, "Stinking sheep." Now let that sink in just for a minute, okay? Stinking sheep. I said, "Well, sometimes that can be appropriate. They're off doing what they want to do, not listening." So, but God don't fail you. God's love don't fail you. His hand won't fail you. It's going to be awesome getting all that knowledge. I love to learn new things, and that day we'll certainly know so much deeper and so much more, and I long for those days. But I do get tired. I know you do as a person. I don't know how many times you've told your testimony to someone throughout your years, or you've invited them to the house of God, and you just say, you know, they always say no. What's it worth? And you just get tired. Why go on? I'm just being honest. At least I've had those thoughts. If you have it, good for you. You're stronger than I am. But once in a while, a Savior steps in and says, Hey, Jeff. Hey, son, I'm right here. Let me give you a little rest today. Let me give you a little boost. I know when we, Judy and I took a little trip to Colorado not too long ago, and went fishing. Some of you saw that on Facebook. And I didn't realize we were at about 9,500 feet elevation where the cabin was. I couldn't sleep at night. I have sleep apnea, whatever. And at those heights, it's even worse. And I didn't have my machine. I don't use it because I just rip it off within an hour. That's here nor there. So for 5 days, I didn't sleep, pretty much. Got pretty tired. So we got back down to lower elevations, and she was driving, and I wasn't hard to fall asleep. Woke up, and I felt rested, you know. It's just a good feeling. You work hard and play hard, or whatever the case may be, and you get rested. But this kind of rest that I'm talking about, supernatural, spiritual rest, there's nothing like it. And God says, I'm going to give that to you. You're going to battle. I want you to be a workman. I want you to battle. I want you to be strong. I want you to face all the things that Satan's going to throw at you. You do it. Do it for the love of God, knowing I am there. I am holding you. I'll push you through. I'll give you everything that you need. And then I'll give you some rest. There's a day coming when we'll have all the rest we ever wanted, because it's called eternity. But in the meantime, he says, we have rested. They sat down in the verse that I read you. Yea, he loved the people. All of his saints are in his hand, and they sat down at his feet. They got rest. Jeremiah 6, chapter 16, verse says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. That's a different sermon for a different day. But the Lord said, If you stand for me, if you seek these old paths, if you seek the ways that I have taught from the very beginning, you'll find rest here on this side of eternity. It's not all, my friend, unjoyous. It is not all, my friend, a tedious work at all, because I've done some things. You know, when I was sick as a little boy, and my grandma taught me how to crochet, not crochet, cross stitch, whatever you call that stuff, embroider. And got into it at first, as any kid did, a nine-year-old kid, I suppose, would, and thought it was something new that grandma was teaching me. And she gave me this pillowcase, and I'm being a seamstress. It got tedious. I got bored. I said, nah, making all these X's and O's, I'm done. Well, guess what? Sometimes the work of the Lord gets tedious, doesn't it? Just gets hard. He said, "I'm in the hardness, in the travel, in the work where I send you. There's going to be rest. I'll give it to you. Now, if you don't want it, I guess you don't have to, because they weren't going to walk there in. But if I go off on that tangent, I'll be here for a long time." Book of Luke says in the 8th chapter and 35th verse, "Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid." Now, the account of Legion, you remember it? He was crazy. He had I don't know how many spirits in him. He was possessed. And he ran around the tombs naked, and chains couldn't hold him. He was just a crazy man. And people were afraid of him. They would stay away from that part of that area, because that's where the lunatic was. That's where they named him Legion, because he had seen so many devils within him. He was a mess. And here they come out and they see Legion, my friend, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He wasn't running around. He was clothed and in his right mind. Woo-hoo. Wow, what God can do. He gave him a little bit of rest, didn't he? In spite of his craziness, the devils were gone, and here he was leaning and learning at the feet of Jesus. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," Matthew says. In medieval times, there was a part of the armor of a knight. And it was called a rest. Those in the day that carried the javelins and they jousted, or they carried it into war, they're heavy. You've seen some of them being displayed on a movie or something like that. Well, there was a rest that these men had, and it was a pommel that sat on the hip of their armor, and they were able to set, my friend, their jouster, their stick, whatever you want to call it, and put the pommel of the hand in that thing. And it carried the weight. And they were able to carry it around and had no problem. And they were able to pull it out when they needed to work. Well, I'm telling you what, God is that rest, my friend. Put your work on Him, rest it on Him, and you'll be able to carry it no matter where you need to go. Just like that knight was able to carry that lance. You know, there's no way those men, they were strong by all means. But they weren't strong to carry that thing around all day long. Too heavy. But they had a rest. Well, God gives us rest. We're loved, we're kept, we're certainly rested, and we're taught. That verse says, let me see. "Yea, he loved the people, all his saints are in his hand, and they sat down at his feet, and every one shall receive of thy words." Everyone will receive. They're taught. God does not leave us ignorant. If you want to know about the Lord, He said, ask. Is there something that you're trying to find out in Scriptures? Ask, seek, pray, and we'll be taught. In the book of Thessalonians, there's an example of faith there. In the first Thessalonians, the first few verses, says this: "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers," the writer wrote. remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us, listen, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all the believers in Macedonia and Arcadia. So they received the word. They were taught. There are those today that seemingly don't want to be taught. I don't know why you wouldn't want to be taught of the Lord or the Lord's ways. See, those things that I've talked about to you today, loved, kept, taught, they're all the tools that we have to do what we need to do as the children of God. The Roman letter says this in the 6th chapter and the 17th verse, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from your heart and from the doctrine which was delivered to you." You were taught. God makes a way for every single human being to be taught, doesn't he? I was taught about the gospel of Jesus Christ from her family, from the church that she went to. Little insignificant body of people on a dead-end road. To the world, they would think it was a joke. To me, it's the prettiest place that I can go back in my memory and see that old house and where we met and the things that I heard and what God did to my heart. He taught me. He loved me. He kept me. And he's still loving me, and he's still teaching me, and he's still holding me. He's still keeping me. God's pretty awesome. I'm going to close with this. Thinking of my title, we are loved, we are kept, we have rested, and we are taught. Everything you need to walk out of here today and do what you need to do as a child of God and a member of this church. No, maybe this is what the Lord wanted as far as the few. I'm just going to say, yeah, that's probably what it was. You take what I'm saying today. You use it, and maybe it'll be infectious to others. The book of Joshua. I think all of us should, we know this, but that's all right. 24th chapter and 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th verses. I'm going to close there. "Now therefore fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Now Joshua was a leader. He was telling them in that day and that time, put away those gods, put away the sins, put away the things that made you weak. And it's, even though that was said a long time ago, these verses I'm getting ready to read, they're relevant to you today. Put away the things that you fight with, because you can. God loves you. God is holding you. God is teaching you. He's doing everything that you need to know. He's keeping you. And he'll give you the rest when you get so tired of the labor, my friend. But he says, keep on laboring. Labor in the heat of the day. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him," Joshua said, "sincerity and in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites or whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Joshua said, you do what you want to do. Me and my house, we're serving the Lord. And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord your God, he is that brought us up from our fathers and out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sights and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And so there's another picture of you being born again by the Spirit of God. He drove Satan away from you. He changed your life. And now he loves you. He's holding you. He's teaching you and he's giving you rest. But the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. So let's remember. Let's have a song. That's my message today. And hopefully somehow it's been encouraging to you and to those that may see it. That it sparks something in your heart. Because you got everything you need. I'm ready to take over the world as a child of God. I'm ready to see really revival. And believe you me, I believe it. I believe it can happen again as I've read and as I've seen in the Bible. Now, I don't know if God wants it to. I'm not going to say that. I don't know the mind of God. But I do know one thing. He is long-suffering and wishes none to perish. And so I've got to keep fighting right on into the end, my friend, as you do. So let's have that song and you follow the Lord.